The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast, Joshua Adam, I am Armathot, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
You know, I think about it long and hard. I think this is my favorite time in wrestling. I think July and August are my two favorite times, because it's G1, and G1 is amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, even this first night that we're going to get in Dallas, you know, you and I kind of looked at where is New Japan going, and this first show in Dallas is, it's just a fun night. I mean, you have your nominee right now for Wrestler of the Year, Will Ospreay, in a great match. You get the greatest feud in New Japan history, possibly, in Okada and Tanahashi. You get Kenta in there. You get to see Zack Sabre. Like, there is some really fun matches that are going to happen at the American Airlines Center tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a big night, and I like to preference, this isn't our full-blown preview. This is just kind of focus on night one, the kickoff of things. As long as everything goes according to plan, Mo should be joining us, and as the three of us jockey for position as being who wins the one fall G1.
Yeah, I mean, last year, you and Mo had a really close one. I wasn't in it last year. You and Mo were really close, and you started off really strong, and then Mo, as it went on, took away with the win.
Yeah, Mo just slowly chipped away, made a couple really good calls, and I made some really poor calls, and it ended up biting me in the ass. The biggest thing was his pick on who he believed to win the G1, which was Tanahashi, which led him to victory.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, what we're doing is we're obviously using the New Japan site that they have their kind of their pick'em. We'll obviously talk about the card today, and then I guess we'll kind of give the idea of who we at least ultimately think is going to win the whole thing.
Yeah, yep, sure. Yep. Because we got we don't want to go too in-depth with the overview, but...
No, you want to save some stuff with Mo when we do that.
There's a lot of good things.
So I guess we'll start it tonight. So it's in Dallas, so at a decent time too, right?
Yep. You'll be able to watch live today. This is big.
So that's fantastic, and you're going to get a lot of good matches on here. So I guess we'll just kind of start off with the do you want to go down what's a neat block, or are we just going to go with what we have today for the first matches?
Let's go with what we have today.
Okay.
Let's focus on today's date.
So we start off with Will Ospreay versus Lance Archer. This is an interesting story, and I'll go kind of by the percentages that they have on the New Japan site for the pick'em. So Will Ospreay is favored to win at 54%, with Lance Archer at 46%. I think the reason a lot of people are high on Lance, because number one, much like in a March Madness tournament, there's always the huge upset that started off that catches everybody off guard, right? And you also have the story of here, a Will going against heavyweights, and you could maybe tell the story that Will wasn't ready yet to go against the heavyweights and have Lance win.
Yeah.
Potentially. And I have Will winning, and I think you do too, but that story could be...
And as does Mo.
Right.
Mo does as well.
So that story could 100% be there of Lance could be the one that comes out of nowhere, knocks off Will, and then you could be like, was this the right idea for Will to go in? Should he be staying in his own division?
Yeah. I don't think Will's going to do amazing. Like, from a wrestling standpoint, Will Ospreay's going to do incredible. But from an actual match, wins and losses, I don't know how well his record's going to be. He could absolutely take a loss tonight. But I have a feeling they're going to want to showcase Will Ospreay and show that he definitely belongs here. But it's going to be an uphill climb, especially with the block that he's in.
Absolutely. I think, and like you said, you have Will Ospreay as the Wrestler of the Year. You've been very impressed with what he's been able to do.
Yeah, I mean, I watched his match against Robbie Eagles from Southern Showdown, the show in Melbourne, and it was a great match. It again shows just how mature Ospreay has gotten in ring, and just how smarter he is, and I feel like he takes less risk now, but there's still high impact and high quality storytelling within his matches.
After that talk from Chris Jericho, he really apparently listened to Jericho being like, you can be impactful, but you don't have to kill yourself.
Yeah. Flip Gordon needs to have that conversation.
Yes, he does. So Will Ospreay and Lance, we both have Will Ospreay. Evil and Bad Luck Fale, this is Evil by 79%. Bad Luck Fale at 21. Again, Bad Luck Fale is kind of a candidate for me in this that, you know, it's a big guy. He's a decent name. Wouldn't be shocked if there's potential upset here, but I think we all ended up going with Evil in this one.
Yeah, all three go the way of Evil. I think he's going to have another good G1. Him and Sonata have had good G1s in the past, and I think that this will be another good showing from them. And I think Fale will get a couple upsets, but I think Fale's there to just disrupt this G1 as much as possible.
The next one we have is Sonata and Zack Sabre Jr. Sonata is 64% to win. Zack Sabre's 36. This is where I went with my upset. I had Zack Sabre winning this. I know they've been pushing Sonata quite a bit lately, too, but they've also been pushing Zack to a degree, and I expect Zack to get the upset win here.
Yeah, and as far as I know, I pick Zack, you pick Zack, and Mo picks Zack.
Okay, so I'm not totally out of the range then. I'm picking that. I think, like we said, Sonata's been up there, but I think they also see a lot in Zack Sabre and want to give him a big win off the start, especially in front of the American audience.
Yeah, I think he'd be a good person to have get that win. And it is going to – tonight is going to tell us a lot about the storylines for Block A. We're going to have to wait a little bit for Block B, but right now we kind of get some ideas, and I think Zach's going to be a heavy hitter in Block A.
Absolutely. Next up, it's a dream match. It's Kota Ibushi versus Kenta. It's surprising this. I have, not to spoil too much, I have Ibushi as my overall winner in this. But if you're just going by the percentages in this, picking Kota would be an upset as Kenta is favored with 53% of the vote to Kota having 46% of the vote with a 1% chance of a draw.
Yeah, I personally went with Kenta. I thought that they would want to have a good showing for him.
Right.
And usually the guys that go all the way, they can have slower starts, and there's a lot of time for Ibushi to get big wins, Tanahashi being one of them, Okada being another, Ospreay being another, avenge some of the losses that he's had in the past. And you can make Kenta look like $1 million, which is something that you should be definitely looking to do. I mean, this is going to be a wild match. This is amazing that these two are going to wrestle, especially in a G1.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And the more I guess I kind of think about it now, I'm still going to slight edge to Ibushi, but give more think to it. I mean, you also maybe want Kenta to win because you want to establish Kenta early on. It's a guy that's been out of the New Japan, the world of Japan wrestling for a while, being in WWE and NXT and then 205 Live, to really establish that Kenta will show why Kenta is one of the greatest wrestlers in the history of Japanese wrestling.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Ibushi's my pick to win it, and Ibushi is Mo's pick as well to win it all.
Okay, so we all have the same pick for that then.
Yeah, Ibushi. The only difference is Block B, but that's another discussion at another time.
Yeah.
But I just – him signing that contract, man, I wouldn't be shocked if Ibushi won tonight, but I can see them slowly building Ibushi back up to getting that eventual win in Block A.
And then the final one is Okada and Tanahashi. Go ahead.
Just a throw together match. This isn't special. This isn't legendary rivalry. This isn't two of the all time greats for New Japan going toe to toe. Not at all.
Yeah, I mean, 10% of this had a draw, which again I did consider, but I think you kind of brought up the point too. It's like I don't think they'll have a draw this early in a tournament. Tanahashi with 42%, overwhelming for the New Japan champion. Okada with 76% of the vote.
Yeah, they're a tag team right now, so I don't see Tana being one of the challengers for Okada on his way to Wrestle Kingdom. So a tie could very well happen, but ultimately I think you want to give it to the Rainmaker and have the Rainmaker look really strong, especially in U.S. soil, and really kick things off.
Absolutely. So, I mean, this is the great way to start off the whole show in America and really getting some highlighted matches to go there. And then they'll be back in Oda City, Tokyo, on the 13th and the 14th and the 15th. That's when we kind of get a nice little run. But we're starting it off really hot in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah. And I mean, for Block A, just looking at them again, the next night, July 14th, we have Tana versus Kenta, we have Ospreay versus Sonata, and we have Okada versus Zack Sabre Jr.
Wow.
So we have a lot of strong matches. And I mean, you can make the argument that Block B has equally strong matches. We get to see Ishii versus Moxley. We get to see Jay White take on Moxley and Naito. It's not nearly as strong, but I think we're going to see they've got some heavy hitters in Block B, but I feel like every week or so there's going to be at least one or two matches that become must-see television.
So if we go by the overall winner right now, for Block A, we'll just do the top three. Overwhelmingly in Block A, it's Kota Ibushi with 49% to win Block A, Sonata with 18.6 to win, and then Okada with 12.6. And for Block B, Naito with 43% to be the top for Block B, then Jay White with 34, and then Goto with 10. Moxley falls a little bit behind there with 6. So a little bit more spread out in Block B compared to what Block A is. Anyone that's not in that top three, and I guess you can count Moxley in there as well to a degree, it's maybe being in there, but anyone that's not in the top three for Block A or Block B that you could see potentially surprising us and winning their blocks that aren't listed in the top three?
Will Ospreay.
Yeah, it's 3.7 for Ospreay right now, which I do believe is a little bit low.
Yeah, but I don't think I think his G1 win will come eventually. As long as they move him up to heavyweight. I think Moxley's definitely a name that you could talk about.
Ishii's 1.6 for Block B.
Yeah. It's going to be to get to that final point and finally to get to that G1 final night, which the last five, the lowest star ratings they've gotten is 4 3/4.
Wow.
So they've either been that or higher, according to Dave Meltzer. So they've been home runs. So Japan holds that final night in very high regards, and it means a lot. So it's to get to that final is really, really got to push. I know my pick for the final night is Naito versus Ibushi. Moe's is Ibushi versus Jay White. And who's your final two, Josh?
I don't know if it'll be Naito. How many chances does this guy need to be in that position? And Jay White, I don't know if they're cold on him or not. I do kind of want to go with Moxley for the name power of what you get from a G1. But with the AEW situation, if he was just there and new, I would believe in it. But with what AEW is and how weird they're being with this conversation of everything, I think it's just more to have the Moxley name without the G1. I'm just going to play it safe, and I'm going to go with Naito.
Yeah. I see, my heading into this, I thought Naito was winning this for sure. I thought because Naito is one of the biggest stars in Japan. Like, he is – with a fan base, he is like – 1A to the or 1C to the Okada and the Tanahashis. He's massive. He moves merch really well. He is over with that crowd, and especially with what this next Wrestle Kingdom means, with it being the two nights and in the Tokyo Dome both nights, you're gonna want to have a sellout. And I feel I really leaned towards Naito for a long time, and ultimately it was actually the New Japan released a recount video where it's part one and part two, and they recount the complete history of the G1. They talk about Omega, they talk about Tanahashi, they talk about Ibushi, but they really focused in on Ibushi. And it just, I guess to me, that was like, I think that's where they want to go, because Ibushi's that white whale that Japan's been trying to harpoon for so long, and now that they finally harpooned him, I feel like they're going to want to push him to the moon. And I think Ibushi versus Okada at Wrestle Kingdom is a big, big, big match for them. But I was bouncing back and forth.
Yeah, if it wasn't Jay White, I would debate it. I know Goto is third. I don't think Goto will be in a final, to be honest. I think it would be Jon Moxley with an outside chance of Ishii. Was Wrestler of the Year last year, and I'm surprised that Ishii's had such a quiet year this year, because I do think he's one of the most talented wrestlers they have, and last year in the G1 is where he really showed a lot.
Yeah, and he to me is when you have Ishii in the G1, you're gonna get quality matches. I mean, you can look look back to the match he had with Shibata, the match against Okada, there have been matches that have really stapled Ishii as a staple for the G1.
For the most part, I've seen most of these guys wrestle. Can you tell me a little bit about the guy that's in fifth in all this right now for B-Block? And I'm probably going to butcher the name, so I apologize. Taichi?
Taichi. I haven't watched enough of his stuff. That's a Mo question. That's definitely a Mo question. I can tell you that Shingo Takagi, he is the one that wrestled Ospreay in the Best of the Super Juniors final, and he's really talented. And I'm excited to see his match with Naito because they're both Los Ingravenes, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they are.
So that's a big marquee matchup. I you know what? I'm really interested to see what Toriano and John Moxley do. Mm-hmm. Yano's that guy that you kind of give nights off and is a little bit easier to work. I'm interested to see what shenanigans Moxley gets up to and if he brings the barbed wire steel chair with him.
So Taichi's 39 years old.
I think he's in the right spot for himself.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I always like about the G1 is, like, who's the guy that's going to come out of nowhere and really do stuff? I mean, Yano, I think, is going to have, like, a match where we get surprised by Toriano Yano, that he has something that surprises us. I think Juice obviously will have a good showing. I'm looking forward to Juice and Moxley having a rematch after the quality match they had. And it'll be interesting to see what they like. Again, like, I think I'd be a lot higher on Moxley if he didn't have the connection to AEW and how kind of weird this is right now. I know Jericho had won that belt, a little bit ago, but I don't think they put Moxley. I don't think he'd make even the final four with what AEW and New Japan is. And you know what? I'd love to be proven wrong on that.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be a big factor in all of this. Will Ospreay was recently asked about AEW and New Japan, and he just kind of said, you know, I'd love to work with them, but they got to establish themselves and they got to get going. And once they're established, maybe that's something that can be visited. I think that's a big part of what New Japan's waiting for. I think it's waiting to get AEW established. Once they become established, solid brand, then I think that we could potentially see them jumping, tying their rope to AEW's ship.
I agree. So there it is. Anything else last to add here?
No, this is going to be fun. And it's, you know, you're not going to be able to watch every night of the G1, especially with the time difference and just how much is going on.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take much to tune into a couple quality matches and get hooked on this product and get hooked on this tournament. This is quick. I remember watching Omega's rise to the top. I remember Naito winning his G1, and I remember seeing Tana win his one. I was really into the Tana one. That one really, that my schedule jived with watching a lot of G1, and it was a lot of fun. It's well worth it.
Yeah. I mean, I know Mo said this is his favorite thing in entire sports, including Super Bowls and March Madness and all that. And well, I respectfully disagree because I'm a little bit higher at March Madness, obviously. This is one of the hidden gems of sports right now that definitely leads to a lot of athleticism. And, the one thing I would like it to have is I'd like to have it a little bit more unpredictability this year. But they have a lot of the athletes to lead to that and to lead to a lot of quality matches. I think, you know, Japan keeps on losing people. Like, they lost Kenny Omega this year, and I think they've more than made up with some of the additions to having Kenny Omega, like adding Will Ospreay into this and adding Kenta to this.
Yeah, there's a lot of strong candidates, and Kenta's someone that could do well in this tournament.
He absolutely could. All right, well, everyone, enjoy the G1, and we'll be back with much more as the week goes on. Until next time, cheers.
Someone's next going to be just dust by the end of this tournament, aren't they?
I vote for Kota. Enjoy the day, people.
And good night. Bang!